The sermon for Good Friday, March the 29th, 2024, based upon the epistle reading for this day from Hebrews chapter 4 and 5, I will read now. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In biblical days, a highly sought-after position among the Jews was to be high priest. Though the title came with certain responsibilities, it also had its perks. If one was chosen to be high priest, he was in a very respected office that came with a lot of authority. Your main duty would be annual, on the Day of Atonement, to enter into the temple's Holy of Holies and to offer sacrificial blood. It would be sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant, both for the sake of the high priest and the people. At the time of Jesus, if one held this office, it came with a hefty income. It came with comfortable accommodations. It allowed one to have servants and secretaries. It allowed one access to the Roman leaders who were then ruling their nation. These leaders would want to appease the high priest and attempt to seek often his counsel. In addition, the high priest would be the one whom people sought out to decide disputes. He would give directions to the people. Others would take what they said as being the very voice of God himself. And sometimes his words were, whether he intended them to be or not. For example, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the high priest and the other Jewish leaders were very concerned. They asked, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." This was their concern, that if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the problem they foresaw, they said, was that the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. They did not want anything like this to happen. They were quite comfortable in their elevated positions that were recognized by their occupiers. Failing to see Jesus as who he claimed to be, the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas at the time, declared to the others, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." The answer to him was obvious. Jesus needed to die, and for different reasons than his, he was right. His words were, in fact, inspired. For the account continues explaining how he did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into the children of God those who are scattered abroad. And so from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The day of their plans unfolding had arrived on the Friday of what we refer to as Holy Week. Jesus had entered Jerusalem. Judas had agreed to lead them to him away from the crowds and at night using a kiss to identify him. Jesus would then be arrested, and that very night he would stand before the high priest to answer his accusations against Jesus. He declared Jesus guilty before handing him off to Pilate to do their dirty work of killing him. However, according to the Hebrews passage that was read earlier, we might say that there was a great mix-up happening. Jesus, the true high priest, was standing on trial before a much inferior high priest. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to offer animal blood for both himself and for the people. Jesus' high priest came to do something similar but of much greater significance. The reason is that Jesus was designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that is why we read in our text how, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He is the priest all humanity requires. The Roman governor Pilate was not interested in condemning Jesus, and so he attempted to rid himself a number of times from having to carry out the execution. The influence of the Jews was too much, however, and so Pilate's hand was forced. He had Jesus nailed to the cross to bleed, suffer, and to die. However, in so doing, Jesus became the sacrificial Lamb of God. Jesus suffered unto death, and he then took his own blood into the true Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, and Jesus presented it there for humanity's atonement. Hebrews 9:12 speaks of how Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:24 speaks of how Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Truly, Jesus is a high priest, unlike any other. Something very noteworthy that happened when Christ died on Good Friday was how the curtain veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That it was torn in this direction indicates that the tear initiated from God's end after Jesus presented his blood to the Father for our redemption. From that point forward, there would be no need for any animals to be sacrificed. There was no longer a need for a high priest, nor the temple. Jesus opened up direct access for mankind to God. The tearing of the curtain is proof. Another is what happened on Easter when Jesus rose again. The scripture makes it clear that all who trust in Jesus and the blood he shed on our behalf are ransomed and redeemed. The faithful have the hope of returning to God in his heaven after they die to await the great day of the resurrection of all flesh. Listen again to these words from our text. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. By this, the author is referring to our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. Whether it is easy or difficult to believe, we dare not let go of our confession if we hope to be saved. But often it's difficult to hold fast. Temptations to return to sin and unbelief come alluring. Will we have to give in to them? Certainly not. The one who endured himself while here amongst us knows what we are going through and that we require his help. And that is why our text further points out, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sin. The one who endured faithful himself is with each of us to aid us in resisting the temptation to turn back to sin and unbelief. And that is why we worship Jesus in the congregation, as we now are upon this Good Friday. We don't come sacrificing anything other than our worship, asking Jesus for his ongoing help. We stand before his cross knowing that is the place from where his grace is extended to us. The author of the letter to the Hebrews instructs us to do this very thing, saying, Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace is his cross. Behold, my brothers and sisters, through the blood of Christ shed for us and our redemption, the life-giving cross, on which was hung the salvation of the whole world. Oh, come, let us worship him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us to remember and to give thanks for our Lord's redemption, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.